Do you ever stop and think that we only see what we want to see?
Yes.
How many of you have ever seen somebody begging for something on the side of the road? How many of you automatically turned your head the other way so you could drive by them without feeling bad? Okay. Just kind of interesting. How many of you change the channel when they have those commercials on the little babies with the big bellies? Instead of watching it, we just kind of click the channel so it don't get to us. Sometimes we do that with God. God's speaking to us. He'll send somebody to talk to us. He'll bring a book across our path. We'll open the Bible, and if you open it at random and put your finger someplace, it's talking about what he's talking to you. Do you ever stop and think maybe God's trying to get our attention? We need to go on beyond the fact that we are loved by God. How many understand that? It's the greatest thing that can ever happen to you. It's the greatest revelation you can ever have. But there's a time that we have to go beyond that to a place of God. Why am I saved? So, oh, Pastor, are you doubting yourself? No, I'm not at all. I've come to a place of saying, God, what do you want in my life besides all of it? So anyway, we've been talking about God, you, who you are, what God's done for you, and now we're going to start talking about for a few weeks on what God expects from you or desires for you. How many realize that, and you know this, the Dead Sea is dead because it has no outlet? You've got all kinds of stuff coming in. You've got all kinds of stuff going, but no flowing. Stovall Weems in his book called The Awakening. A new approach to faith, fasting, and spiritual freedom talks about a sequence called agreement, alignment, and assignment. Say that with me. Agreement, alignment, and assignment. When we come into agreement with God and what he tells us in his word, we are aligned with God's perfect will on earth as it is in heaven. When we are aligned with heaven, we find that God can use us in ways previously thought impossible. We then walk into our assignments, God's will, and his purpose for creating us. What do you think about that? Let me ask you a question. How many of you have ever heard a verse that says, can two walk together unless they be agreed? How many knew that was in the Bible? It is. And can we walk together with God without agreeing with him? Can we be aligned with God without coming to a place that we're walking with him? And can we work out God's assignment that he works through us without these? And so as I was reading that, I started thinking, Lord, I read this verse, and I know where you're taking us. I'm not here shooting in the dark, hoping that one BB hits somebody. I know the plans that God has for us, and I know where he's taking us. And if the key now is, if you'll follow, you're going to see God move beyond whatever our expectations have been. He's able to do exceeding abundantly above all we what? Ask or think. I want you to understand that. God's kingdom's not dependent on us, it's on him. But this region may be dependent on us because God put us here to touch and change it. Can you say amen?
Amen.
And God has called us to be part of that along with other people. There's no church that's going to do it by itself. The body of Christ needs to do it in this town. And so turn with me, and I'm going to touch a little bit on what's already been preached by Kirk and Marnie and the worship team and words and all the things coming in. It's just amazing. You sit back, and the other day, God just started pouring something in me, and pretty soon it's being spoken out here. How do I know we're on the right path? Because agreement. Yes. Agreement. Unity. A plan that God has laid out, and then he not only shares it with one person, he's sharing it with three or four or five, or maybe the whole body, and you're sitting there, I wonder if this is from God, and all of a sudden we hear somebody saying. Ephesians chapter 2. And you know these verses, but maybe the last one you haven't thought about. How many can tell me what Ephesians 2:8 says without looking at your Bible? For by grace, through faith, for by grace ye are saved through faith, is a gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. I think that's 8 and 9. And we're going to start there just for a minute, but I want you to look at verse 10. I don't want you to miss this, because we're going to go into it in a little bit of detail. For we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus for good works, which God prepared beforehand that we should walk in them. Look at me for a moment before we go any further. You got to get this. You got to get this. You got to get this. You got to get it. If you don't get it, you don't got it. I'm glad there's no English teacher here. God had designed what he wanted you to do before you were saved. God doesn't predetermine your salvation, but he knows who's going to be saved. Prepared in advance what he's called you to do. Your life is not a life of happenstance. Your life is one magnificently designed by God. It's like I told the people at the jail the other day. I said, God has a plan for you. Whether or not you step into it, that's up to you. There's not a single person in this audience or in this city or in this world that can say, God has nothing designed for me. That's a lie from the pit of hell. You're bathing yourself in worthlessness. And don't go there. And you may look at it and say, well, I'm just as happy as I can be. I got everything together. Okay. And some people are saying, boy, I sure wish there was some balance in this area. I'm going to tell you something. I listened to Bill Johnson this week. They're talking about balance. Very interesting. He said, I want you to understand something. When the guy asked him about balance, he said, there can be no balance between passion and apathy. There can be no balance between joy and depression. There can be no balance of doing God's work and doing the devil's work. I'm just adding a few. Understand what I'm saying? We're all worried about balance. Not all of us. Some people are worried about balance. God says, be passionate and go for me. That's the only balance you need. What did I tell you last week? You can give the Lord a hand anytime you want. It's not for me. You might even be able to say amen. Or you might just look at me like one of Curtis's cows looking at a gate. But we're in this thing together. For by grace you have been saved through faith. Do you understand something? Where did the grace come from? God. Where did the faith come from? Come on. There's no wrong answer here unless you're really wrong. So let's just put something together. If God didn't want you saved, if God didn't want this community saved, if God didn't want this nation and this world saved, why in the world would he give grace and faith so you could be saved? Is there a point there? I hope so. And so if God was just agnostic and didn't really care and wasn't concerned and didn't give a hoot about what you were doing, why in the world would he give you everything necessary that pertains to life and godliness? In 2 Peter chapter 1, verse 3 and 4. God has given you freedom. He's giving you deliverance. He's given you prosperity. He's giving you healing. He's given you forgiveness. He's given you all these things, not so that you can sit in a pew and just suck up air. He's given this to you because he's designed your life for ministry. He's given apostles, prophets, teachers, pastors, evangelists for the work of the ministry, for the edifying of the body of Christ, equipping of the saints for the work of the ministry. How many understand that? How many don't want to understand it? How many are ready to go eat? Forget it. We ain't going there. And through Jesus Christ, how many believe in him? Amen. Okay. How many? That few? Maybe I do need an altar call. Through Jesus Christ, he's designed a program that through Christ, through his crucifixion, through his resurrection, that we are out there through Christ destroying the works of the devil in people's lives. Do you realize that people are controlled by one or two powers? Do you realize that if your life is not serving Jesus Christ, your life is serving Satan? You say, but I'm a good person. That's the problem with this whole thing. Is people have an inflated image of their own goodness. Hello. Amen. We think because we don't kill somebody, we're good. We think because we don't rape somebody, we're good. We think because we don't steal, we're good. Actually, the worst thing is they think because they go to church on Saturday night or Sunday morning, they're good people. Forget it. There is none righteous. How many? No, not one. I want to leave you with this before I go on to something else. Don't live your life as a righteous person as though you're unrighteous. Don't live your life as the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus in a way that you're unrighteous and not serving God at all. That's what Satan wants to con you to do. Mr. Weems said something else that's very impressive as I thought about it. Now just hold on to your chairs. He said the reason that many people go back after they've just prayed a sinner's prayer, keep in mind God looks at the heart, not the head, is because they've experienced sin, but they haven't experienced God. I want you to think about it. You know, nobody took a book and taught you how to sin. You didn't learn from a book, if I do this, if I do that, if I do something else, then I'm a sinner. Oh, woe be. He said people went out and experienced sin. And so their experience in sin is greater than their experience with God, and you'll always go for the one that you have the most experience with. And so we come to a place, folks, where we're out there training people, teaching people, talking to people. We need to be able to give them a God encounter when they accept Jesus Christ that's greater than their experience in sin, and the experience with God will shake and destroy the experience with sin every time. Yes. If you believe that, give the Lord a hand. And so we look at people who even walk through this door, and they may come up or they may lift their head and they may pray a prayer and they walk out and nothing's happened. Why? Because they haven't experienced God in his encountering power that changes their life like they experience the world. We okay? So where we're going now is I want to teach you what God has done in your life as a believer living for Jesus Christ compared to what sometimes you think he's done. Verse 10. For we are his workmanship. Anybody tell me what 2 Corinthians 5:17 says off the top of your head? If anyone be in Christ, they're what? What's the rest of it? Old things have what? And behold, what? All things become new. How many believe that? If anyone be in Christ, they're a species of being that's never been before. Yes. If anyone comes in Christ, God just didn't remodel you. He didn't just correct something. He didn't just refurbish something. He actually made you. And that word workmanship actually talks about the fact that he's absolutely made us a masterpiece. That's what the Greek word pointes means, masterpiece. So when God started working on you, he didn't just take out a few of the boards and a little bit of the stucco and a little bit of the sheetrock and a little bit of this and just start putting other little pieces in there. He absolutely, radically made you a new person and made you a new creation and absolutely designed your life. Well, let me tell you what that word means. Kind of interesting. It means masterpiece, skillfully and artfully crafted. We are the temple of God, magnificently designed for his habitation. You're not Motel 6. You're the Conrad Hilton. Come on. How many have ever stayed at Motel 6? Got to put a quarter in to go to the bathroom. No, you don't. He hasn't designed you as a Motel 6. He designed you as a $6,000, $10,000 a night room in some place that are, well, I better not say that, President stays. He's created in you magnificent place. Why? Because he's going to dwell in you. How many has ever thought about heaven? How many of you understand God doesn't live on the wrong side of the tracks? Maybe we don't have those days anymore. International Falls, we had a place on the other side of the tracks. And for me, I was on the other side of the tracks way out in the country. I couldn't even see the tracks. God designed you as his masterpiece. He designed you very much the same as he did for Adam. How many realize Adam had no flaws? And he created that so that you would be the habitation, or his Holy Spirit would habitate you. inhabit you. What is it? Inhabit? Okay. See? I know, because you can't argue. You got to put it on the radio no matter what I say. Go Pats. What did he create us for? You ever stop and think of that? What did he create us for? Kids are wondering, since they found out that they came from apes or amoebas or whatever else, whatever's going on, they found out that we're really nothing, and then they take them to school and they want to take them to a self-esteem class right after they told them you're from an ape. Wouldn't that be amazing? He had a purpose. God's purpose was he was looking at us for communion and fellowship. He wanted companionship. That word koinonia in the Greek talks about being a companion, being a partner. Do you ever have a partner in a business? How many realize God wants a partnership with us in what he's doing? He's not wanting us to ignore him. And listen to me, look at me. He doesn't want to be a silent partner to what you're doing. He wants the fellowship, he wants the communion, he wants your worship, he wants your praise, and he gives everything back to us that we need so that we can fulfill what he's called us to do. It's not a scary life. You're not out there somewhere on a limb where God's going to cut it off and you're all by yourself. No, you never go anywhere by yourself. God wants us as companions, as having fellowship. And you know something? He wants you to bring other people into fellowship and companionship with him. It's not a clique. It's not a limited group. It's open, wide open to the whole world. Whosoever will may come. Number two, he created you, say this with me, he created me to bear fruit. So God has made you. John chapter 15, verse number 9 or verse number 8 says, herein is the Father glorified that you bear much fruit. Now don't suddenly just start thinking, well, he's just thinking about reaching people for Christ. That's part of it. But he works on you from the inside out first. As he ordained you and manifested himself in this holy temple, he started putting in his love, his peace, his long-suffering, his gentleness, his goodness, his kindness, his self-control. And he didn't stop there. When the Holy Spirit came in, he came in with 9 suitcases. Word of wisdom, word of knowledge, gift of faith, working of miracles, discerning of spirits, prophecy, tongues, interpretation. And so not only did God call you, he furnished the house. He furnished the temple. You are totally and absolutely designed by God. And when we take hold of that, it's going to absolutely ruin us for sinning. When we take a hold of the fact how much he loves us, we'll decide, hey, I don't want to do anything that he says I shouldn't do. How many of you realize something in this? I'm going to go a little bit of eschatology or times of the end. How many of you understand that God has created you to rule on the earth? and we shall rule and reign with him. We have 1,000 years specifically designed to rule on the earth. But wait a minute. It wasn't limited to 1,000 years. Who's in charge of everything on the earth? Huh? Can't hear you. God. Who's God's children? So how many of you are living like you're reigning on earth right now? You say, oh no, I'm just a woman, I'm just human. We're King's kids right now. He doesn't want you running from the devil. He doesn't want you saying, I've had a bad day. He doesn't want you living like there's no hope in your life and you're just running around and all these things are going apart. You're in charge through the Holy Spirit, ordained by God to take authority over everything that comes against the kingdom. We have a job to stand up for the kingdom of God, which is within us, and walk this out. God made you that way. Is this worse preaching than normal? I'm getting scared. We reign. Okay, look at me now. You'll get this one. Who's going to lift up the Super Bowl trophy tonight? I'm not talking about team. Who gets the Super Bowl trophy? The team that loses?